Bellquist, and he does an inverted twist. Is he in? He is. Touchdown, Bo Bellquist, and that could be your dagger.
Simon Rumphaugh has it. Simon inside the five. Sis boom ball. Simon Rumphaugh, his second touchdown today.
UND Football 360.
Isaiah trying to get outside, a stiff arm, shuts him down, 20, inside the 15, down to the 13-yard line. Oh, that right arm, that stiff arm from the book of Isaiah has given North Dakota a first down.
Analysis, commentary, news, and a look ahead. It's all things UND football. This is the UND Football 360 Podcast. With your hosts, Kelly Howe, Matt Nelson, and Dave McNamara.
Well, if you would have asked us a week ago if we'd be doing a show like we are today, I think we all would have said, you're full of it. But we did not see the result we were looking for last Saturday as the Fighting Hawks traveled down to Youngstown, Ohio, losing 41-40 in overtime. And fellas, we're just going to jump right into the Kelly Howe Agency game review and dive right into this. But I want to thank our sponsors, too, because whether we win or lose every week, our sponsors are here with us, and we couldn't be doing it without them, and we want to thank them so much. Rumors Sports Bar and Grill and Casino in Grand Forks, make it your headquarters for UND football. If you're up in Grand Forks for a game, swing into Rumors or for anything in Grand Forks, stop by Rumors and enjoy that $7 lunch. Development Homes, Inc., gaming, simulcast, horse racing, pull tabs, blackjack, pig wheel. You can find them at Rumors. They take care of you in all those departments. Plus, we hear there's a $1,000 bingo game going on, regardless of how many people are playing up at Rumors. The Kelly Howe Agency, Nodak Insurance. What are you featuring this week? Home and auto?
It's always home and auto, and with an eye on getting a win at Indiana State. That's what we're focused on here.
What kind of policy does that take? Toasted Frog, fine dining in downtown Grand Forks and Fargo. The 1883 Collective, that's the NIL arm for UND Athletics. And make sure you check them out. We had some news last week about a new business sponsorship to the 1883 Collective. And businesses, it's a perfect opportunity for you to get involved and be a part of the UND program. Interstate Industrial, steam cleaning and painting in the Bakken oil fields. Marty Shade, thank you so much, Marty, for your continued support. And American Solutions for Business, Tank McNamara. You need T-shirts, can coolies, can coolers, pretty much anything with a logo I can help you out with. Apparel, print, we got it all. Now let's get into that Kelly Howe Agency game review. As it says here, disaster strikes in Youngstown. 41-40, we lose in overtime. Guys, I think offensively we played pretty well on Saturday at many times of the game. But really the defense, boy, a lot of issues there on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, offensively, if we start there, Matt, the positives, I want to start with Simon Rumphaugh. His best game of his career, 19 of 24, 212 yards passing, very accurate. He threw some tough balls, some down the field sideline routes that were tough. They had to be dropped in there over linebackers, and very pleased with that. He played better. Bo Bellquist was virtually unstoppable. I mean, they didn't have an answer for him. He's carving those guys up pretty easy. Little concern with the running game. Running game wasn't what we had seen. I think, what did we end up with? 144 yards rushing net in this one. Not what we've seen. And that kind of reared its head late when we wanted to kill the clock. Yeah, we just couldn't because they had a lot of guys. I mean, they had a lot of guys up there. But it wasn't the same. And do you give credit to Youngstown for that? I suppose. You know, let's give credit. They have good players, too. So,
and that falls on the O-line and the running backs, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was – it's just – yeah, it's hard. It's hard to pinpoint with a running game why a running game doesn't work, you know.
Right. That's, you know, but if you were to give me these stats – If I didn't watch the game, didn't listen to it, knew nothing about the game, and I just saw these offensive stats, wow, there's no way we lost this game with our stats. Even though the rushing game was a little subpar what we're used to, I mean, just looking at the, you know, the penalties we got, you know, 2 for 15. We were very it was a disciplined game on offense. Our first downs, our third down conversions, 10 for 15, fourth down, 1 for 1. I mean, we had a really great offensive game. That I would say there's no way we could have lost this game if I just saw the offensive stats. I mean, hats off to our offense. They did
red zone touchdown, 6 for 6.
Yeah. You can't ask anything more out of your offense than the performance they put on the field on Saturday.
What do you think it was with Simon? Is it just gaining more confidence week to week?
I think so.
For sure. Yeah. You can see that too when in his play, like he's just he's not only more confident but learning to read those defenses better too. It's just the experience and I see, and we talked about that as the season goes along, Simon's going to get better and better each week, and I think we're seeing the results of that.
The leadership role probably,
of course,
gets a little easier week to week when you're new starting quarterback.
For sure.
And Bo, 10 catches, 105 yards. He had 5 for 70 in the first quarter, which means they, kind of went away from him. I know he had a chance on the sideline route towards there at the end. He caught it. They called him out. He might have said he bobbled it. But he was very good. You know, we just expect him to be good every week. I don't think about it. If he didn't have a bunch of catches, I'd probably be disappointed. Type of a thing. It's gotten to that point. So,
and it wasn't like he was open by a foot. He was dominating their secondary at times, wasn't he?
He was turning them into the ground. Yeah, he was pretty good. And especially on that touchdown, the last touchdown is like, it was, overtime, right? The touchdown, he just turned that guy around, came running back. Simon, I mean, it was like they're in the backyard. Simon just turns, throws it to him. They catch it and look around like, oh, okay. It's just like, the guy was 4 yards off and wasn't even in the end zone, which is a lot of space. So, before we talk about the 2-point conversion, we got to move to the other side of the ball. That was the issue, guys.
And
we're all kind of clenching
our face. It wasn't their day.
I don't know.
We talked, there was no one around the ball carrier at times where we've seen it at times. And, you guys both play defense. Do you have those games where just the whole unit doesn't really click?
Well, you do, but you don't give up 334 yards rushing. It's like, we all played. There's some games you're off, but you
let's
don't
take
give
the,
up 330.
The last play before halftime.
Consistently.
That kind of sums it up, right?
Yeah.
It sums up the day.
Yeah, the last play before half. I mean, and I think I tweeted right after. I'm like, there was, let's say 17 seconds left, something like that. They're driving down. We're thinking, okay, the drive starts getting going. Okay, well, let's hold him to a field goal. Whatever. Let's hold him to a field goal. We'll get out of here. And he drops back, and similar to what we say with Simon, right? 1, 2, I'm gone. Well, that's what's been working, and that's what his game is. Bo Brungard is a running quarterback, not the best passer, but he can complete some stuff, okay? 1, 2, takes off running, runs to his left, cuts back to his right, guys are falling all over the place, and then makes it into the end zone. That's the part that killed me. All you had to, if you tackle him at the 1, they're probably kicking a field goal. They probably are. They're like, well, because there's not enough time. They have to make up their mind. Okay, we're either going to punch it in, or we're not getting any points. Like we did the week before, right? It's like, right. Kind of a dicey, let's just kick the field goal. All you had to do was tackle him, and they probably just kicked the field goal. We let him run it. I mean, I think that one hung around in the minds of the defensive players into the second half, because you can't tell me it did. I mean, it just looked bad.
Yeah, it looked bad. It's demoralizing, not the momentum that you want. I mean, we had a great drive. Our offense did great right before that, and it takes all of the wind out of your sail, and it just it's hard for a player. You're there only 20 years old plus or minus, to just overcome that into the second half of the game, where it takes a lot of maturity, and I don't know if we're lacking maturity and being able to recover from bad play, but we have to figure it out here on defense. I don't know if we're just not scheming well, but it's a consistent problem and has been for quite a while.
What is the answer?
Well, we had talked about earlier in the year, remember when we said they flipped the switch?
Yeah.
We'd have these issues first quarter.
Right. And then all of a sudden, it's a whole new team. So that's where I'm at a loss with this game, where all the lessons that we should learn in the first couple three games, we played very good against Iowa State, who's in the FBS playoffs right now. So it seems like we've learned all those lessons and we should be getting better. But for the past several years, after we reach that halfway point, we just start to digress on defense. And I don't know after we hit that fifth, sixth game, you know what happened last year after the Bison game? We get blanked. You know, our offense and defense didn't play very good against Northern Iowa. So it's that middle to late part of the season where we just start to kind of trail off, and I don't know if it's a focus thing. I don't know if it's...
I thought it would be different this year.
I thought so too.
Well, let's see. Let's watch. Okay, something to watch for. Fans, everyone, let's watch for it. Let's just see, hey, maybe they bounce back this week.
How do they respond? Yeah.
But it's like, geez, I'm just looking. It just wasn't... They weren't active. They weren't what we had always said they were, you know, I mean, flying around with their hair. There was just nobody around, and Brungard at 176 yards rushing. You knew coming in that he was their offense.
Right.
I mean, we knew that coming in. Everyone
we talked
knew
about
that.
It last week.
Everyone knew it. I mean, right. obviously the staff knew it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
Of course. You know, and you have to be, you know, you have to know nothing about football than to look at the stats and say that, wow, Bo Brungard is their guy, just looking at the statistics of what they do and what they do to teams.
They completed eight passes. He did. Bo Brungard, eight passes for 72 yards. So 27 yards, 21 yards, 16 yards. That's the receiving numbers that their guys had. They just decided we don't need to throw. And, well, the run touchdown.
And they didn't.
In the third or fourth quarter, I can't remember. I tweeted about it. It was fourth quarter, I think. They went seven plays, 75 yards. They ran every play. Touchdown. Like, they didn't even throw. I mean, but I don't even think it was a semblance of a throw. They were all literally running plays. You know what I mean? They weren't, like, scrambled and stuff. So it was just one of those games where we keep going back, and I wrote down, you know, everyone's well aware of our road issues. And but every year we have one of these. We have a Youngstown. They were 2-6. Okay, so it's not like this was a good team, and people want to say, "Oh, they were in game, and whatever." They were 2-6.
I was listening to the game on the radio, and the missed extra point right away. I was like, "Oh no, is this going to be one of those road games where just nothing seems to go right?" You know?
Yeah.
You maybe dig yourself out of a hole a little bit, and then it just you can never really get over that hump. The snowball just keeps getting bigger.
And they could have easily won the game on that 2-point conversion, but they didn't. And even if they had converted the 2-point conversion, we'd still be sitting here.
Man, like,
Jesus,
what?
We still gave up 40.
Even with 41. The win, let's be fair. Yeah, you're right. We would still be saying, "What the hell did we just do?" Like, yeah, we won the game, but there's a lot of reason for concern moving forward here.
Yeah, it. Let's talk about the 2-point conversion.
Do you like the call?
Going for two,
regardless of the play. Let's just talk about lining it up for two. You're on the road.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
Your offense is playing good. Your defense is not. Let's just take care of business right now. I like the play call.
And moving forward, let's say, okay, we'll get the win. If we kick the field goal, we tie the game, then we have to rely on our defense, who didn't have a very good game at all. And so, let's just get out of this. Let's get home. Let's lick our wounds. I like the call. I think it's a ballsy call, but I think their mentality was, let's just end this. We're playing well. Let's get out of here.
Now, the actual play call.
Right.
Well, a lot of fans are scratching their head right now.
Well, the only reason is, you know, it's fine. You know, that's, and obviously, Isaac Fricke knows more about football than we do. And the only reason I had a problem with it is because, well, there's a few reasons. Quincy's a running quarterback. He's good at the quarterback sneak. Okay, you can line him up in that diamond thing and throw out of it, I guess. He's not a thrower. He never throws. And when he has, it hasn't been overly successful. He's not overly successful running over, you know, 1 or 2 yards. It's normally a sneak. Okay, so I don't think the element of surprise was going to be there because it was on the 3-yard line. So to say, and they loaded the box, which you have to do on the goal line, okay, in that package. You know, we have two fullbacks and a tight end in the game. Okay, so they were going to have their big personnel in the game. So the element of surprise wasn't going to be there because they have to tell themselves, all right, we'll just man up, and they're not going to run it. So let's just keep our eyes peeled, you know, for something. Because there was a time, they took a timeout.
Right.
So you know what, they talked about things on the sideline. They didn't just come get a drink. They said, hey, okay, if they come back out in this formation, right, here's what you got fullback, you got tight end, you run with Isaiah Smith when he goes in motion. And what was interesting, we had Zebarth in first. We had Zebarth in at wide receiver. Young Sung calls timeout. We come back out, same formation, but we have Isaiah Smith at wide receiver. I'm wondering, was something supposed to happen differently? I don't know. Whatever. Maybe it's just for looks, you know, but okay. So my problem was the element wasn't there for the pass. It just wasn't going to, and the run wasn't going to work because they were going to take away. So problem number two, Simon was playing great. Bo was playing great. The play before, Bo twisted that kid into the turf, made him look like a junior high player, and caught the touchdown all alone in the corner of the end zone. It was like, mm-hmm. I mean, Simon probably almost, he probably couldn't believe how wide open he was. You know, he just throws it right into his chest, and I was like, oh my God, that was like the easiest touchdown I've ever seen. Thinking that, wow, nice play, you know, type of thing. Okay. Do we run that back again? Roll out right, yeah. tight end, fullback for protection, one-man route. Bo and Simon, you win the game. If we can't complete a pass to Bo, we don't deserve to win. He's the best player on the field.
At least run it and then have the option of Simon. If it's not there, then there's a
keep
good
rolling.
Chance.
Keep going, Simon.
Keep going, run to the corner, right?
Look for Bo the whole time. Bo's going to keep twisting. He's going to keep turning.
That's right. You know. And that would have, like, you're in the head of that corner that was covering Bo.
God.
And,
no
oh,
business.
My God, I have to cover him again? You could.
Did you say earlier you almost made him quit football?
Yeah. Well, Jesus. I mean, it's like that wasn't even close to the one before. So now, okay, I think that was just a half fade comeback is all that was. Now you run the full fade. Full speed all the way to the back to the corner end zone. Boom, come back. Running as fast as you can back to the front pylon. So it's a little quicker type play. It's a immediate, got to be on time. I'm sure they got variations off it. Whatever. You just run another slight variation, same thing. Or you line Bo up in a little tighter. Out. Speed out. Run right at him, speed out, boom, throw it to the pylon. We win. I don't know. It just seemed too easy, is my point. Was it too easy? I don't know. But they wouldn't have had any help out there. You can't put help out there. Because then now you just slip the tight end out.
And now
you know what I mean?
And you have the corner worried about, oh, man, we might lose the game because I didn't cover this guy, right? So, like, you're in the head. You're living rent-free in that corner's head.
Granted,
so.
We're sitting here, you know, saying it's easy. I know it's not easy. I've never called a play in my life, and I say that every podcast. I don't get it. But I know what I saw the play before, okay? And I know that can happen again. And I think they just, I don't know. They might have overthought it. A little bit based on what 70 plays. He just called 70 plays against his defense. Here's what I think will work type of thing. Mm-hmm. And it didn't. So now, if Jaden Norby leaks out into the flat and he's wide open and Quincy hits him, it's the call of the year.
That's
God,
right.
What a hell of a call, right? I mean, now we're sitting here saying, you know.
But it wasn't.
So now we're sitting here saying, well, you know, the play before, the best player on the field, the best receiver in the conference was wide open due to his own doing, all by himself. He just carved the guy up, spun him into the ground. Okay. So I digress. Okay. I made my thought, you know, I mean, it was easy to sit here and do it, but those guys are in the battle on the sideline. But that formation and that play call might have been made during the week. hey, if we need to go for two at the end of the game, this is here's what we're our running. Formation.
And they might have practiced it a couple times and like, yeah, this looks good. And so, it just wasn't there.
What does this do to the playoffs now?
Okay.
I mean, not to look too far ahead, but we've still got a few tough games on the schedule.
We've dug ourselves a hole, and now we have to come up with an upset. You know, we have to play incredibly well. Luckily, we have USD and SDSU at home. But boy, they're if you've watched any of those two teams' games so far, it's a tougher climb than what we had this last week. Yeah. So,
it's because it's a 12-game season. This makes it dicey. If it was an 11-game season, we're sitting here with 5 wins, and I saw Indiana State and Illinois State left, and then the USD or SDSU. I'm like, okay, we just need 2. 7 always gets you in the Missouri Valley, right? 7's not going to do it this year, I don't think, because it's I haven't been. Probably next week I'll start scouring the other leagues and I start crossing them out, circling teams,
right,
checking resumes and stuff, and you can pretty much get a feel for who the at-larges are going to be. But boy, 2 out of the next 4, I don't know if that's not going to do it. So we need the one this weekend, obviously, or the season might be over. And do they got to beat one of the South Dakotas at home, too, now that they dropped?
My opinion, yes. I think they have to.
Regardless.
Right. Yep.
I think for the season, you need one of those.
You need a good win against a ranked opponent, and especially because Montana, not maybe as good as we thought they were at the beginning of the season. They're not having the season that they would like, I don't think. So, so I think for sure we need to beat one of the South Dakota teams.
It is.
You know, good thing is we're at home. We play well at home. We usually play well at home against those two schools too. Right. It wasn't a couple of years ago. SDSU was the top team in the country, or number 2, and we beat them at home. So, so it is possible. However, given the way that the season has gone, we're so up and down right now. I don't know what team is going to show up.
Well, and key losses, I wrote down. I went back. We've all talked about it. Key losses each year that keep NDSU or keep UND out or make us a bubble team and we sneak in, right? So 2015, Idaho State. I think we all remember that, a homecoming 37-31, total disaster. They were 2-9 that year. Well, we don't get in. We don't get in the playoffs because of that. We finished strong. We played well at the end of the year. We didn't get in because of that loss. Okay, 2016, there were no bad ones. We went 9-2 till Richmond. Had the playoff kind of meltdown at the end. But no bad losses during the year. Okay, 2017.
Won the conference that year, right?
Yeah. 1-8-0 in the Big Sky. So, All right. 2017, the entire season was a disaster. It was 3-8. Everyone got hurt.
That started in July.
Yeah,
end of July,
everyone
right?
got hurt.
A week before camp when Harris went down.
Fifth string linebackers were starting. And we had no choice. We had to put them out there, and we had to put freshmen on the field. It was a bad year. 2018, Idaho State again. 25-21 at home. So we lose that one. They were no good again. So now we're up. Backs are up against the wall. Got to get 7 wins, right? We go down to Northern Arizona. Last game of the year. Lose 31-16 to a bad Northern Arizona team. All we had to do was win. I remember we had Sam Herder on that week. Sam, hey, let's go through this. If UND wins, are they in? He goes, I think they are. He goes, I've looked at it up and down. I think they're in. Well, after the game is when Bubba let go of Paul Rudolph and Luke Knopf, O-line coach, because the offense was just stale and wasn't working. Okay, all right, made a move. You know, okay. 2019, at Idaho State, we lost again to Idaho State, 55-20. I mean, we weren't even in it. And we end up sneaking in the playoffs, but we're 7-4, okay? Well, what it does now, it puts you at the end of the bubble again. We end up going down to Nichols, give up.
To the tent, right?
Yeah, to the tent. Right. We give up 316 yards rushing to Nichols and lose the game. 2021 at Missouri State. I don't know if you guys remember that one. We're winning. We're winning all game. We fumble at the end. I think Otis fumbles. And Otis, I think we tried to run a reverse Otis get it and then hand a reverse to Bowe maybe.
Yep.
And we fumble it again. Yep. We end up losing 32-28. Okay, we go 5-6, don't make the playoffs. We lost four games by less than 7 points. Okay, that year. Okay? So all right. 2022. Southern Illinois, we drop on the road because we had a big win the week before, if I recall. We go on the road, look terrible. It was hot out. We look bad. We go 7-4 again. What did we do? We go out to Weber, give up 330 yards rushing in the first round of the playoffs. Lose again. It's always one game is my point. I mean, so then last year, Northern Iowa, we beat NDSU. We go on the road, drop the Northern Iowa one. 7-4 again. Sneak in this time. Hey, UND, you've earned it. You put in a huge bid. You get a home game. All right. We lose to SAC. 244 yards rushing we give up. So it's just a common theme, you know, of these one game a year seems to like trigger an avalanche.
Yeah, a cascade of poor play. And then we just can't get out of that rut. We always start the season pretty well. I mean, out of all those seasons that you talked about, we always have some good wins. We always have typically a good play, you know, a game that we could have beat an FBS opponent. Like a couple of years ago, we played Nebraska tough. You know, we played Iowa State tough. They're doing well. So, I mean, we always start the season really, really well. It's just that middle part to the end of the season, we have a bad loss, and then we lose our playoff game. And I don't know if those two are correlated or not.
Right, and that's why this year, we're back in the same spot. We're fighting to be 8-4, 7-5 again. Same spot, and Youngstown will be on the resume, though. 2-6. Well, we got to hope they start winning games to make it at least palatable if we put ourselves in the conversation for a playoff spot. So, yeah, I just wanted to bring that up. I mean, it was a tough one. Tough loss. I know, you know, the players obviously weren't happy from what we hear after the game, which they shouldn't be. They knew they shouldn't have dropped it. And that's good to hear. Good to hear. You should be pissed off. You shouldn't be talking about, hey, we're going to get back to work. We're going to be better next week. No.
Yeah.
No, you should be
get our lunch pails together. Yeah.
You should be down. Be down for 24 hours. Be pissed off.
That's right.
Remember, you know, and come back and be like, all right, we can't do that. Everyone's been through that. Every team's been through that.
100%.
You don't dismiss it and act like, you know, hey, we played really hard. No. I don't think you did. You know, you just didn't. You didn't. You gave 41 points.
Some of them didn't
play hard.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't do that. You didn't play smart. You didn't play hard. You didn't play together. You just didn't have it. All right, be pissed. Come back the next week and say, all right. Luckily, we get a chance. You play the same team. Indiana State's the same as Youngstown State. They played a 21-14 game earlier this year. They're a similar team. You get a chance to rebound. Go do it. Get yourself to, what, 6-3?
6-3.
Say, come home and you get to South Dakota. So the season's not over by any means. It was just disappointing, you know, to watch is all it is.
Since it was, let's move on. Let's put it to bed, and let's take a look, a trip around the Missouri Valley Football Conference. This week's opponent, Indiana State, with the win over Southern Illinois, 20-17.
Yeah. This SIU team is not very good this year. They're down. The portal hurt them. Quarterbacks are all hurt.
Yeah,
they had a different guy in there this week. I don't know who that kid was. I watched a lot of it. They're just not the same team as they were last year.
How about this South Dakota State game? Did you guys catch that one?
Parts off and on. Second half, good. Two good teams. I mean, they were evenly matched. South Dakota State isn't what they were last year, but they got good players. They're good. I mean, they're a top five team. They're not what they were. Obviously, you lose six guys in the NFL, that'll happen. But South Dakota's good. They match their physicality, and they could have won it. They missed the field goal. They had a field goal at the end to take the lead.
And
at least
do that in Brookings is a tall order, too. I mean,
played well.
Their Super Bowl rivalry game, so it's a fun game to watch.
Honestly, South Dakota probably should have won the game. I mean, you could say 50-50 at the least. You know, they had a chance to win that game. McKid missed the field goal. And, yeah, it was they're not sexy. You know, just like NDSU and SDSU, they're not a fun game to watch, but that's because they have good defenses. So, I don't know. Credit to South Dakota State for pulling out, though.
Missouri State, kind of the surprise team of the year. They pick up a win a little closer than maybe I thought, 49-42 over Northern Iowa.
How do you give up 42 to Northern Iowa? My God, we saw that offense the week before.
How did we give up that many to Youngstown, right? Yeah, it was just a bad week, right?
On the road, I suppose. Yeah, that's a good point. On the road, and, things happen. Yep.
Bison really had no problem with Murray State, 59-6. I think that one got ugly in the first quarter.
I had the under. Meaningless touchdown with a minute left. Take a knee.
So you're not buying lunch today?
No. No, I had it all set up. What are they doing? Like, take a knee. Yeah, they're pounding it in with a minute left, up 52-6. Come on now. Let's think here. The over-under was 58.5. Ooh. It was 52-6. I'm like, all right, I'm good. Nope. We're going to make sure we get that last touchdown. Come on now.
But isn't that the nice thing about having something on the game? You gotta wait till the end, right?
Yeah, he was doing it for the people at the over. Right. Not all of us with the under guy.
Well, that's a look at our trip around the Missouri Valley Football Conference. Well, it's that part of the show where we have our Development Homes 360 guest, and I think it's our... I think Tom Miller was our first returning guest of the year, but we won't count him. Jack Michaels, the radio voice of the Fighting Hawks football team, in studio with us. And, Jack, did the sun come up for you on Sunday?
I was in the neighborhood. Thanks for having me back. I feel like Marv Albert on Dave Letterman. You know, I can bring some folly video and things of that nature. The sun came up, quiet plane ride back from Youngstown, as you could imagine, last week. And hopefully there's a better plane ride back from Terre Haute, Indiana, this week. But good to be on with you guys.
Yeah, it's that was a tough one, Jack. I mean, are we gonna rip the Band-Aid off and jump right in here, because we had you on before, so it seems like we've covered the candy store stuff. Maybe we jump right into this one. We can't lose that game, Jack.
Yeah,
you can't lose that game. Well, okay, you were there. Yeah. Okay, you're there. We weren't. We could only sense it. What did you pregame? Sense anything? Middle of the game starts, it's flowing. Did you sense anything from the booth that it's just not happening
today? The odd part is there's a little chill in the air. It's a beautiful day in Ohio, you know, the foliage and all that stuff. So just to set that scene. And then a 5 o'clock kickoff. So, you know, guys, you know, you feel when you're used to playing 12-1 and all that. And again, both teams play it. As far as the pregame warm-ups, I'm looking out to see, like, if Sutton's got a uni on and some of the guys that hadn't played the week before, so you're getting all that done. And you know, then as we approached, you know, kickoff, Coach Berg and I would talk, and off air, I'm like, what do you think, you know, if you win the toss, do you take the ball? You know, these are the conversations we have, and Mike says, UND's going to take the ball if they win the toss. And da-da. You know, Youngstown wins the toss, and they take the ball, which is, you know, to me in this day and age, that old defer thing, right. That apparently just out the window. Everybody wants the ball right out of the gate. And they convert a couple of third downs. And I thought, okay, and you guys know this. I'm thinking, okay, scripted plays. Everybody's geared up for their first series because you have an idea what might work. And I knew that Brungard, Bo Brungard, whose dad, Mark, was a standout at Youngstown State, brought him a couple of national titles. I heard the story on this. And I know that, you know, the transfer back from Cincinnati, I know that that King and you know, there are other guys, Edward, I knew that they could run a little bit because I saw the film on USD. But, you know, they convert a couple third downs and they score. Like, okay, you're down. I get it.
Right.
Down 7-0 happens. But then to watch UND come down and just, Simon Rumpho has just looked good. I thought maybe his best game of the year, right? And I said, okay, so it's this kind of game. Now you're... As the game unfolds, you're thinking, okay, where are the stops going to come? And you get a pick, by the way. You get an interception, you know, and that was, you know, Avery Scott, you know, gets a pick. And now you're feeling pretty good, and now you're waiting for that pendulum. You're waiting for the foot down. You're waiting for the offense to, you know, put up a few more. You're waiting for the defense to, you know, contain a little bit. Now you're waiting for it. You're waiting, and I'm not seeing it.
Right.
I'm not seeing the defense stop, and I'm seeing gash runs, and I'm seeing quarterbacks escape, and Bo Brungard escape, and I thought, oh, here, golly, and now you're in, as my coach Gary Knutson in Williston for basketball would say, you're getting into a pee fight with a skunk. Now you don't want to get into a pee fight with a skunk, you know, and you don't want to sit there and match, and you know, there were some things that hurt in that game, you know, late drives before half, and now you're in that game, and now you're in a game where I'm thinking, the team with the ball last is probably going to win. And that's a tough spot to be in on the road when you haven't, you know, the road just has not been kind. And I'm sure we'll get into that today, but and you're getting that. So then that pendulum swings again. You're thinking, okay, you reclaim a lead. You know, Bo was terrific, you know, really getting some stuff done. As we said, Simon efficient. And you get a lead late. And then that, you know, now you've got the second to last possession. And it's been a long day. You know, the weather's chilled out a little bit. Things are, I'm wondering why there hasn't been a hold call on Youngstown all day. Right. That's just me. Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, I'll throw that in there.
Well, hey, with that offense they're running, too, it's pretty pedestrian.
Right.
It's on they couldn't throw. One holding call, you know, can kind of shut down the drive.
Right. Right. So, I mean, again, the defense wasn't great, so I can't just say that's why North Dakota didn't win. But every break, I'm like, I haven't had a holding call yet today. And you know, it seemed like a big hole. Anyway, and everybody is going to walk out of that game that are Fighting Hawks fans and either questioning the play call on the two-point conversion to go for a two-point conversion. You know, all I get it. That's the last vision that we have, or if you're listening to the game. But really, the previous drive, you know, it was one of those games where I'm thinking the offense is going to have to bail out this team here. Defense has bailed out before. It's the game where the offense has to bail out. And they looked, you know, they looked pretty good. And just not getting that first down to put Youngstown in a position to probably have to burn a couple of their three that they had remaining.
Well, speaking of which, Isaiah was in. He kept his feet when he tiptoed the sideline
right
there.
Right, right.
So they showed the replay from, I swear to God I saw it, and then I went back to look for it. But they had a camera down the sideline, I think. Yeah. And he did. He tiptoed, and then ducked out after.
Great
she
call,
marked
Kelly.
Him, what, 2 yards short or
yeah,
something like
and
that?
It was not a bad. In
yeah,
fact, I might even.
That
have
one hurt.
I might even have joked about a Hank Stram thing on the air. Like, you marked it bad. Yeah. You marked it bad. but again, at that time, you're thinking, well, okay, you can tush push here and there. You can do this, and you're going to get it. So I'm thinking, okay, here's one where you're gonna first down. You're going to compromise Youngstown on their timeouts. And you may or may not get a field goal. You may or may not go up, six or whatever. But whatever it is you're going to do is you're going to take off time by just getting that first down.
Yeah.
Didn't happen. And then disaster strikes. And once again, what was the story of that game was Bo Brungard, and he busts out for a 40-plus yard run. And now you're not only worried about them making a field goal to push it in overtime, but maybe even scoring, and you're going to lose the game in regulation. So it had that. And then, of course, we all know what happened in OT, and we could discuss that. But it was tough. Yeah, that's every loss is bad because you didn't win. Pretty plainly said.
I mean, yeah. Really?
You told me something.
That's why we have Jack.
Thank you. You can use that on future podcasts.
It's a little Yogi Bear.
Yeah, it is a little Yogi Bear, isn't it? Every loss is bad because you didn't win. You know, no one ever says, boy, that was a good loss. Fantastic. I hope we do that again next week. So it is what it is. It's tough. The road has been tough for North Dakota, and not just this year. I mean, they got to figure it out, period. Got to win. The only way to cure that, win on the road.
Right.
There's another Yogi Bear, if you want.
We all know they struggle on the road, but it's like I still feel like even after this game, because Youngstown was 2-6, we still would have been sitting here saying, let's say Quincy completes that pass in the flat. Mm-hmm. We win. All right. I think we're still sitting here saying, all right, okay, I'm glad we won, but know what I mean? I wouldn't feel a whole hell of a lot better.
I'd still be nervous about Indiana State coming up.
Right.
Based on our performance. If we won in overtime and be like, geez, do we have what it takes to finish out the season here?
And the thing is, it's just the way we looked defensively. The offense I was okay with. We didn't get the push we wanted, but and we'll jump into that. But the way we looked defensively was just discombobulated, like too spaced out at times. And then guys coming in, missing the tackle at the line of scrimmage. Then it's like guys weren't around. Let me make a general statement. Guys just weren't around the ball. Like, you know what I mean? Some games, it's like they're everywhere. They're flying around.
If we were in a supermarket, we were on aisles 19 and 1, and the action was like between aisles 4 and 7, right?
You know? Yeah, that's what I mean. It's
we
like
got our carts in the wrong aisle. Yeah.
Some games, it's, geez, they're everywhere. I mean, we've talked about it on the show. Yeah. Geez, they're flying around volatile today. Guys just, you can't help but miss them. Pedigo, McNeil, those guys.
Yeah.
This game, Brungard, drops back, looks around, takes off running, and you know, I don't know if in too deep a drops or what. It was just huge. It seemed like the middle of the field was wide open.
Yeah, you said the right word, space. And, you know, you guys played the game. And so it's hard for me to, you know, not having played the game, certainly at that level. But, you know, so, yeah, you question. And we've had some swings and misses on attacks into the backfield. You know, getting a quarterback in a compromised spot and then a shake and now you're gone. You're past them, you know. So we talk about contain. Issues and you know, you're up against another running a guy that couldn't, it's going to bolt again this week. So I trust it that everything will be. I'll tell you this, the players, and as you guys know, that sucked. Bo Bellquist joined us on the postgame show, and Bo, during the course of that game, surpassed Weston Dressler. You know, talk about two great names in UND history. And I loved Bo's response. There was just that you could feel he was pissed. I mean, just mad, just fed up, and I love that. in a great way, I love. I mean, he would have given up every reception for like a win. Right. You know, that's what I felt in Bo's voice, and that to me, you know, might be the fuel that gets him through this weekend. It might be the fuel that gets him back to the Arrowhead against the Jacks. It might be the fuel that sharp. You know, that fuel that I heard from Bo, but I could flat out hear in his voice like this unacceptable. You know, that's what you love to see in your athletes, but you don't want to see it in a, you know, loss. That's a tough one.
Well, and you don't – the thing – I like to hear that, Jack, too, because I don't want to hear, you know, hey, we've got to play harder, and hey, we're going to get back to work. Yeah, well, you're going to get back to work regardless. You might as well win the game. You know, I mean, we know you're getting back to work. We know you're going to work harder next week, you know, whatever. Yeah. That type of stuff doesn't do it.
It's just too cliche to try to come back.
Doug Phillips, you know, Youngstown State, you know, we're sitting here talking. I get it. It's a Fighting Hawks podcast and all that. Yep. But they were outside of Pitt and maybe the Jackrabbits game. You know, Doug Phillips and those Penguins had been in a lot of, you know, they weren't swimming in areas that they weren't used to. This team is like been in games like this, you know, so they busted free on one. And so they weren't in a spot where those are the teams that you hate to give an inch because they'll take a mile because they've been there and it's their house. You know, that's the one team in their house you didn't want to have hanging around, and you let them.
What are we seeing this week, Jack? I got to go right back out on the road, long flight. I mean, I don't know if it's similar flight in length. I would assume it's Indiana State, I mean, we'll get into the game later, but I'm seeing another running quarterback. I mean, do you think, is this a Hawks team? Talk about what you see. You've traveled with them, so you know them better than we do.
Right.
Is this a Hawks team that recovers this week?
I think so. Yep. I think it is. I think that I'm going to give you another Yogi. You really got to outscore them. I want to see some points. I mean, you really got to outscore them. And I am just praying for a two-possession lead late in the third, for goodness sakes. But they will. Elijah Owens will run it. I mean, he's their quarterback. He's thrown for 1,000-plus. He'll run. He's their leading rusher. And, you know, this is a team that if they don't sell out on the run as far as an offense, I mean, they certainly are going to try to establish that. So, I mean, it's no different to me. You know, what I'd want to see is that points early, let that offense be efficient. You got a stable of backs. Bo's at the top of his game. Simon's coming off an efficient game for him. But you need to, if you don't stick the Sycamores into second and eight, you know, third and six, you know, again, you're going to get back to that P fight with a skunk again. So, I mean, that to me is the only thing I'm looking for here is, you know, win the coin toss, take the ball, go down and score, get a stop, come back, get a long drive, go up two scores, and let's go from there. That's what I want to see. That's what I'm hoping to see. I'm expecting maybe to see, but
just real quickly, Jack, you've traveled with this team for years. Are they changing up when they take off for games? Like, are you usually like, 4 hours before I got to be at the air? I mean, are they doing anything different like that?
I think over the years they've tried everything on the road from the, you know, different ways to go. But we have consistently now the last couple of years we've consistently wheels up at around like 2 o'clock Central for games, and I'm. So that part has been consistent, and they go through their, you know, you guys have been there, you go through all your meetings. So they've kind of stayed consistent about that, you know, what they do on travel day and when they get in and go to their position group meetings and have dinner and go over. So they've kind of stayed there. The only thing that sometimes has changed, whether you go to the venue on a Friday night to let them touch the field and then or not, you know, we've seen sometimes yes, sometimes no. But as far as the flight has been the same. I get lucky. I got to go back to Youngstown for basketball as well this
Ooh,
week.
So there you go.
I'm going to be in Terre Haute and Youngstown.
Did it matter to you guys if you were on the field the day before on a road game?
Well, we always did it.
Yeah, we always did. I don't know.
I think it mattered necessarily. But then I know when Bubba came and went FCS, they kind of stopped that. I don't know if it mattered because we always did it.
It was nice after because we always bussed everywhere. We very rarely flew, so you'd have a long bus ride down there, and then you'd have a practice to stretch your legs, kind of get some energy out, you know, get a good stretch in the day before the game, and then you'd go back and have your meetings and have dinner and stuff like that. So for me, it was just always something that I enjoy just to get moving, you know, the day before a game and kind of clear your head, see your surroundings.
One,
I liked
thing,
it, but
one thing that Matt and Kelly that I left off in Tank is that my eyes got as big as 50-cent pieces when CJ hit the upright on an extra point, and he's having a good year. I mean, this is not anti. I mean, I have full, as I'm sure you guys do, faith in Elricks, but that just par for the course, you know, on this road. It's like why. Right. You know, who stepped on a crack? You know, what happened? Yeah. Because you used to go, snap is down, placement up, kick is on. I'm already marking it down, you know, placement it up. And then I looked up and went, it's off the, up, yeah, up, yeah. What? And then you're thinking, well, you're not going to chase that point, but big point.
If it turned out to be a big point, and if you chase it, well, and you don't get it,
Now you're down two, you're down eight, you're down nine.
Okay, I don't want to throw people under. I don't want to. Let's just talk the 2-point conversion.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm thinking on the way over. Okay. In my mind, and I tweeted out, I'm like, in my mind, it's Simon played his best game of his career, and he was on. Good game. Very good game. Bo was the best player on the field, and it wasn't even close. Right. Bo Brungard, the two Bos were the best player on the field.
Two BBs were having
pretty good. Okay. By taking Simon out, you effectively took Bo out because, you know, Quincy, the play, as it turns out, the play wasn't designed for Bo. And Quincy's not a thrower. He wouldn't have thrown a back shoulder real accurately like Simon. Well, okay. I struggle with it. And I'm like, okay. But then I say to myself, after 70 plays, Isaac Frickdew probably saw everything that they did. Yep. So he knew coming in, what do they do on the goal line? Okay. Yep. You know what I mean? Type of thing. So he maybe thought this was the play versus what he's seen all game and what he saw on tape. Right. I'm kind of sitting here saying armchair quarterback, obviously, obviously I've never called a play in my life, but I just had a hard time seeing the play before what Bo did to that corner. Okay, that corner, I mean, he almost made him quit.
Yeah.
Okay, that kid didn't.
Bo was having a good day.
That kid didn't have a clue.
I think Mr. Castleberry, yes.
Yeah, right. And it was too easy. Now, myself, okay, I'm thinking as the plays, as they're lining up, I'm like, oh, God, I mean, wouldn't you just maybe say, that was a little too easy. I think we'll just roll Simon out again. And now maybe change it up. Instead of a short comeback, now it's a long to the corner comeback.
Right.
You got a couple options. But either way, Bo's getting open. Okay, that kid's not stopping him suddenly.
We were talking
on this
about
play.
Space before, and that's what I think Coach Berg and I, and I'm sure Paul, we were looking for something that had some space to it and options with it on a 2-point conversion. I know that when they designed it and when they had it, I was told that the players were on board with it. You know, the staff was on board with it. Everybody was on board with the play. You know, you remember, guys, the week before we saw Bo out of that gun against Northern Iowa, not under center on a push, but 3 yards deep out of the gun. So then you're trying to think, okay, you know, are you trying to, you know, are you running this to get this reaction? Because, you know, Youngstown saw that too. So now if they show this formation, you know, is Youngstown maybe going to bite a little bit more on that? And if so, if we leak out, you know, Norby to a flat or just a quick cut across, and is he going to be there? And, you know, you're wondering what all the thinking that was going on. But the problem is when that was covered up, it was done. It was kind of over quick.
Yeah, and he was working the back in the end zone bowl, but it was too long, you know, because he was way out wide. So then I think he ran deep and then worked the back of the end zone, but then the pressure got there too quick, and Quincy would have found him. He would have seen him because he ended up throwing that direction.
He just
then
got stuck in a phone booth, and then, you know,
In
hindsight, I get it. Always, you know, we sit and talk about things, but, but again, oftentimes you put yourself in that spot. That's the one that's a neon sign at the end is the two-point, but it's like, man, alive, the extra point of the first score, lack of getting a first down in the second previous possession. You know,
Rushing yards given up.
You just can't do that, and you can't do it on the road where you've had one winning road season in the last 12 years. You know, that stuff has to be done.
Time to look ahead, and the Toasted Frog is going to help us. Oh, you guys use some fried pickles right now?
I could. I'm starving.
We should get those in here for the show. Yeah. Toasted Frog, a 360 game preview, noon kickoff versus Indiana State. You can catch the pregame on the radio at 11 o'clock with Jack Michaels and the crew. We want to thank Jack for joining us. Indiana State, 3-5 on the season. Their wins, Dayton, Murray State, and Southern Illinois. Not a real impressive resume.
No, but they play decent football. You know, they never are going to be in the top half of the league, but they battle. And like we're talking about off air, surprise someone. Every year,
it seems like they're the team to do it in the league. They'll good for one big win in the conference every year.
And the tough place about going to Terre Haute is there's going to be around 825 people there.
Pretty quiet.
So it'll be a big crowd for
right.
Them, huh?
Yeah,
don't they usually average four?
Yeah, it's not a good setup at all. So luckily, the coaching staff should have the players' attention this week. Okay, yeah. I mean, if we'd have won by 20 last week, I'd be a little worried, more worried about this one, looking, you know, overlooking them.
Right.
Yeah.
What I like about it is that we have to bring our own emotion to this game. So this win is going to be all on us. This is a game where we can set the course right a little bit and I think get a good road win against, you know, they're a good football team. Elijah Owens, we're going to see the same thing. We've talked about it already off air that we're going to see a similar team coming up, and it's going to be a good test for us. We have to be able to go and prove ourselves on the road and beat the teams that you're supposed to beat. And that's what's lining up for us this weekend.
Do you ever put a shadow on a quarterback? Or some, you know, in a situation like this? Because obviously it killed us last week. Right. You know, where you just maybe have that safety, like you're going to hang in there and you're going to, or align, you know, I don't know.
Well, it's easier said than done just because they have three receivers. They go with 11 personnel the whole time, so they'll have three receivers and a tight end. So you got to have four DBs on them.
So what's the best way to
McNeil,
combat, you know, a guy that if he's not comfy in the pocket, he can beat you with your legs?
You can play, do it, but it's...
Play better team defense. Yeah, I mean, we just have to
play
be,
better.
Well,
we
stay
have
in
to,
your
we
lanes.
Be, yeah,
stay
we,
in your lanes defensively, just, you know. D-line, right?
Yeah, D-line. Our D-line needs to stay more disciplined. We have to have more gap integrity, right? So we have to, if you're covering this spot on the field where you can't let anything get by you, you got to make sure you do your job there. And, you know, if you're outside backers, you got to stay disciplined. Seek the level of the quarterback.
Like the old days of playing the bison option, right? Just got to do your job, right? Well, and sometimes you might get beat, but hey, everyone's got to stay assignment
sharp. You just
got to
slow it down, yeah. And maybe
make
you're not getting to get the play.
It. Make them throw the ball.
Right, yeah. Slow
you
them
want
down.
Them to throw the ball. I mean, like Brungard, we wanted him to throw the ball. I put a tweet out right away. I think it was one of our edge rushers came off. We brought pressure off the edge, not a DN. Came off the edge. I think it was the inside, looped around. Came off the edge and then ducked in. Wow. Brungard sees that, spins out, goes around the end for a first down. It's third and six. That can't, you know, just... But then later in the game, it was the opposite. We come off the edge. We stay outside, off the edge, and now he steps up, sees nobody in front of him for whatever reason, and he's gone up the middle. Well, that tells me the inside rushers got out of their lanes, the D-tackles, whatever you want to call it. They all, if you watch like an NFL game, those guys are all... rushing, even if there's a movement, they all end up back to where the other guy was or where they're supposed to be, right? So all four lanes, if you want to call them four lanes because there's four rushers, are covered up to where they're an arm's length apart. If the quarterback tries to sneak through, you reach an arm out and you can get them, right?
Right.
We had huge holes in the middle. Like, nobody was in the middle. So we had two guys outside where the tackles are, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, that's how you slow them down. It's easier said than done to put a spy on just because you're giving up something then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then cost you in other areas, yeah.
And then all a team has to do is like, oh, they put a spy on the quarterback, and, you know, the next game, you know, we're just going to do the same thing, and this is how you beat the spy, you know, so.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it was... I don't know. It's going to be a tough one again. Just because, you know, as we look ahead to Indiana State, Elijah Owens, our quarterback, he's about 6'2", a little bigger than Brungard, but same player. I mean, leading rusher. He's their guy. So what he does, catches it out of the gun. And if they aren't just running it, they run a little wide zone stuff. So they'll hand it off and run wide right away. Yeah, interesting concept. That's kind of caught on lately. But he's 1-2 rollout. He won't immediately take off if he sees anything in front of him, but he'll roll out and act like he's going to try to find someone downfield, but then he goes and he takes off. So we're going to see the same thing.
I've got no intentions of throwing it.
Doesn't seem like it. I think he wants to deep down, but then he runs every time. So it's like, well, okay. He's smart. You know, he knows that's his game, and they're going to have to be around him. It's the pass rush lanes again. I go back to that. Because the DBs are tied up, so they're out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, a linebacker, one or two linebackers are tied up because they're usually pressuring them. The inside, are they dropping too deep? I don't know. I haven't watched it enough, but it just goes back to the pass rush lanes. If we stay in our pass rush lanes, heck, can even come straight forward.
And
no twisting, you know.
And their O-line doesn't seem to be that good. I mean, they've... Against Missouri State, they gave up 5 sacks against Missouri State. So, I mean, it seems like if we just stay disciplined, the plays are going to be there. You know, if we go play good, sound defensive football, the plays will develop. We just have to give it some patience and play tough physical football.
In the pass rush lanes, guys, that I brought up, let's go look at the defensive line. We're losing guys. It's starting to become a major issue here. I think it was Grady Kinch. Don't quote me on this, but I thought he went down in the game. Montre Samuels Parker didn't even make the game, so we're down him. Jack Tykens out. He's going to come back, but he's not ready yet. So he's been out.
Because they said they got lucky with him, right?
Yeah, got lucky. Braden Moore, he's out for the year. So they're down him. It's starting to get a little dicey. So we got a bunch of nose guards left, which is good, Orlando Beach. But they're not defensive end pass rush type. You know, they're not the quick, twitchy type. So it's I'm starting to get a little worried. You know, we're talking about these pass rush lanes. Well, we only got 5 or 6. They had Brennan Bleegan in there. He actually played all right, the freshman nose guard. Where's he out of? Iowa. Big kid. He was active. He was pushing some guys around, getting in the backfield. I think we'll see more of him. Put him at nose, kick Beach out to end. You know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
Because you don't have a choice at this point. So, yeah, as far as defensively, same game plan for the other team. What are we going to do? Are we going to look, you know, are we going to do anything differently than last week? Or are we just going to play better? Just look better.
Yeah.
Some weeks you just play better.
And I think this week you got to have that, you know, bend but don't break attitude, because they're not a high-scoring team in the league. So, you know, if you get them down in the red zone, looks like they maybe have some trouble scoring.
Their O-line's young, too. I got that in my notes. 2 sophomores, 2 juniors, and a freshman.
Yeah.
Young. All right. You know, that helps. You know, maybe get after them. Can we draw a holding call this week? Because that offenses like this, you know, non-passing offenses, you want to call it, that aren't great downfield, you get a 1st and 20 on them, you're kind of in business. You know, I mean, it hurts really bad.
And there wasn't one called last week.
Yeah, we got to draw some more penalties to help our defense out. But you know, hey, other side of the ball, okay, offense.
Want to see that running game get going right away, don't you?
Yeah, a little better this week. We need more. Need more out of them this week. 144 yards isn't going to do it. But this is a better. This defense is better than Youngstown's, in my opinion, from what I've seen and from what I looked at. 4-3, base 4-3. You know, 4-3. So we know what we're going to get. We played them last year. Top two tacklers in the league. So I go look at the Missouri Valley stats. They got Garrett Olindick and Jeffrey Brown. Their two inside linebackers are the 1 and 2 tacklers in the league. These guys are active. They're good players. It's both 6'2", you know, good-sized kids. So Kurt Mallory, their coach, he's done a good job recruiting some players. I mean, they're up against it. They don't got anything going on. And it's a tough gig, you know, especially in that area, part of the country. They're just not, you know, it's not a football school. But he puts players on the field, especially defensively. I think it was a couple of years ago. Who was that? They had a defensive end. Jeez, single-digit number guy. He was good. Good player. Yeah, this is one Bo is going to have to be. We're going to have to go downfield. Running's not going to be easy.
You mentioned, you know, the running game needs to pick up, but also the receiving game, does someone else have to step up besides Bo?
We dropped two passes. We dropped two long passes. Caden Dennis dropped one, and Nate DeMontnack dropped a touchdown.
Because when we get into bigger games, there's good defenses out there. You can't take Bo out of every play, but you can do a better job.
Yep, Dennis came back, made a few catches, but there was one. He needed one on the sideline. It was kind of a half fade route, and we just can't be dropping those. We're not, you know, no offense is good enough to just overcome that, you know. That's a good point, Tank. I mean, we're going to be running three receivers out there a lot. They got to make plays, and Simon was putting it on there. The pass to DeMontnack in the end zone, we end up scoring on the drive. It was late, but beautiful throw, post route. Oh, right on his fingertips, fell off. So, yeah, it's just in sync. Just an offense in sync. Last week, they were fairly in sync. You know, yeah, could have been better. Could have been better with some conversions on third down that I would have wanted back. You know, I think they want them back type of thing. But it's just got to be – and special teams. Haven't seen much lately.
Wow.
Yeah, let's talk about – we're best when we're three-phase in it. Right. Let's be honest. Yeah. I mean, we need three-phase football, right? Setting up teams, scoring, even scoring points, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we haven't run one back yet this year.
Much punt. Just nothing. I'm trying to think. We haven't had much going on lately. But that's good because nothing's happened against us. But we're not making anything happen. When we make stuff happen, unconventional plays, pick sixes, whatever.
We feed off.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I mean, now it's like, now we're in business. But, yeah, and lately, just nothing happening. Maybe we... do I sense something? Try to get a heart started a little bit.
Out a couple
Sean
trick
Kostich,
plays. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Throw John out a Kostich calls up something. Take a shot. Punt block.
We had the fake punt a week ago.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, that helped us. And look what happened. 31-7. Right, we win. I don't know. We're just better when we get our heart started with something weird, quirky, unconventional play. When we don't do anything, when it's their offense versus our defense versus their offense. I don't know. It seems like it turns into a boring game of, I don't know. It's just hard. And maybe we're overthinking it because we have too much time on our hands. But it's, I don't know.
We have to talk about something, though, right? So I mean, it seems that's what it is.
And then we're back on the road again.
This is
not to kick a dead horse,
too.
But, you know.
I don't know. This is an ugly trip.
It's a must win. It's a game we should win.
Yep, got to win it. But now after last week. See, one thing I've learned, though. Okay, here's what I've learned about UND. I've been doing this. This is the 15th year, I think, is what I figured out of doing UND Football 360. I can't believe I've been doing this for 15 years. Okay, so I've seen pretty every game. I've talked about every game, whether in written form or in a podcast. We always bounce back. We don't look bad 2 weeks in a row when we're a good solid team. Okay, when we're down, we did, you know, but when we're a good solid team, it seems like the pride of the program comes through, and we bounce back and look good the next week, get the win we're supposed to. So I'm expecting that again.
Well, and Matt, you had talked earlier that you could tell that the seniors, the leadership on this team, really dictated some of this early season success. And Jack was talking about Bo, like he was ready to play play this week's game. I think right afterwards to try and redeem. He was mad, but Jack said you could kind of see Bo. Maybe he's going to take that to the locker room this week. Those guys, what can they do?
Yeah, 100% Tank, and some of those switches that we saw flipping that we've talked about earlier several games ago has been because of that senior leadership. Some of those juniors that have been around a long time here in the program, where it just takes the leadership on the field to be able to take over. And this is 100% in the players' capabilities to be able to make that transition this week to get everything on the right track. You know, the coaches can have the players run the right plays. They can have a beautiful game plan. They can scheme up the other team all day long, get the players in the right positions. It comes down to the players deciding, are we going to win this football game? Are we going to put everything on the field today? And are we going to put the work in so we have success on Saturday? And it's just a mentality thing that, you know, we just don't want guys going through motions, right? That's kind of a cliche thing that coaches say a lot, you know, don't go through the motions, right? And so I'm looking for that this week, is that those guys taking leadership in this program, taking some pride in the program, and really making that, because we, no doubt about it, it's not any secret, we have to win the majority of our football games. You know, we can only have one loss here at the end of the season if we still want to be a playoff team. So it's going to take some grit to be able to muster through the next four games.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, three out of four. I mean, that's it. It should have been 2 out of 4, but now it's 3 out of 4. And this is a winnable game again. So, you know, I think we're to the point now, we don't want to forget our predictions now, guys. We did that 1 week, and then I heard about it on Twitter from 10 people. So, predictions. We've said everything that needs to be said. We're in week 9?
We weren't far off offensively last week, but defensively.
Yeah. Yeah. So, defensively, is it this week? Do we keep them down? I don't know.
I don't know.
What's your prediction this week?
Go. This is the worst part about doing it. I hate it. Who came up with this idea? I'll just, until the defense shows us more, I'll say like a 28-21, you know?
28-21 UND?
Yeah. Okay. UND is going to win, right. But I hope it's a bigger gap than that. I'd like to see our defense just come out and shut them down. But until they do that, I'm going to give a few more points to the offense.
Matt?
I'm thinking it's probably going to be similar to last week for us offensively. I think we're going to be able to get in the end zone pretty easy. I'm thinking 42, but we might have a half of a game this week where our defense needs to figure it out. But I'm hoping that we have that switch that flips again where we see a non-existent defense and then we see a lights-out defense responding to it. So that's what I'm anticipating. So 42, probably 31.
Oof, a lot of points.
All yeah, right. Yeah, it's going to be a high-scoring game. Until I see something different,
right.
I think we'll come away with a win, but I think we'll have some trouble on defense to start out.
Yeah, show me, then I'll believe. You know, that's kind of, we've said that in the past.
Yeah,
like coming down to the Fargo.
We want to see the win, guys. All right, right.
So, well, I'm a little more low scoring than that. I just think, it's going to be tough again. It's going to be similar to last week, but I think I have 31-21. I think UND can win. I think we can hold them to 21. It's just, you know, gosh, because it's just recency bias in your head. So normally I would say, 34-21, 38-21, whatever. Hey, we'll
watch
get
a
out
score
of there,
be
right?
7-3
yeah.
now.
But now, last week's game just, you know, so like I said, we always bounce back. We always bounce back because it's a prideful program. You know, UND is just, they are SAR. And I'm going to go 31-21 Hawks. Get out of there. 6-3, and move on next week. You got the two-time defending champs.
Piscake.
Yeah, South Dakota
State. It's at the Allaire Center.
Yeah.
Just put it, we're going to play the game. We'll put a W in the win column. But, hey, we're going to get ready for Saturday's game. Noon kickoff, Indiana State Sycamores. You can hear it across the radio network, 11 o'clock pregame with our good friend Jack Michaels. We want to thank him for stopping by and being our Development Homes 360 guest of the week. Want to thank Rumors Sports Bar, Grill, and Casino, Development Homes, Inc., Kelly Howe Agency, The Toasted Frog, The 1883 Collective, The Interstate Industrial, Steam Cleaning and Painting in the Bakken Oil Fields, and American Solutions for Business, Tank McNamara. Thank you all so much for supporting our podcast, and thank you to the listeners for joining us every week. And we can't wait to be back next week, and hopefully we're talking about a Fighting Hawks win as they take on the Indiana State Sycamores on Saturday.